This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I am Ira Flatto. On Sunday, October 28th, the Auction House of Bonhams and Butterfields will be auctioning off what they describe as specimens of the Moon and Mars, the first auction ever devoted to meteorites. Also included in the auction is a chunk taken off the Willamette meteorite. That's the famous meteorite sitting in the American Museum of Natural History in New York, the one that's been subject of a long-running dispute over who should own it. Should anyone get to own these rocks? And what's the going rate for a chunk of the moon, be it from the form of a meteorite or some moon dust carried back by an Apollo astronaut? Joining me now to talk more about it is my guest, Robert Perlman, founder and editor of CollectSpace.com. He's a member of the U.S. Spacewalk of Fame Foundation Board of Directors, and he serves on the induction committee for the U.S. Astronaut Hall of Fame. He joins us by phone from Houston. Welcome to Science Friday, Mr. Perlman.
Hi, thanks for having me.
What do you know about these moon rocks that are up for auction?
Well, I know that there is a lot of desire for them, and that they are meteorites. They're not the moon rocks that most people associate when you say the word moon rock, which is commonly associated with what the astronauts brought back.
Hmm. Are there some of those rocks out there up for sale by collectors?
No, there aren't. Well, when we went to the moon in the 1960s and 70s, we brought back 842 pounds of lunar material, but it was a taxpayer-funded initiative, and so the American public owns all those rocks, and they're considered national treasures. And so they are, with the exception of a few little samples that have been given to heads of states around the world, they are held within a vault, a couple of vaults in Houston, that that protect them for all of us to enjoy and for scientists to study.
There's probably the most controversial chunk is that Willamette, that there's a 30-pound piece of the Willamette meteorite being auctioned?
Yes. The Willamette meteorite, I remember as a kid, I grew up in Jersey going over to the Hayden Planetarium and climbing on it. It's the world's most famous meteorite, and there have been about 20 segments of that meteorite that have been removed over the years for scientific study. And one such sample was removed and traded to a private collector who owned a piece of Mars. And the museum wanted the piece of Mars, and they had a piece of the meteorite, and so they traded. That would have been okay in most cases for any other meteorite, but this one holds particular affinity or a particular place in honor among the Native Americans that live in the area where this meteorite was found.
Mm-hmm. Now, you say there are no big pieces of moon rock available, but I understand that you own some lunar samples yourself.
Yes, lunar meteorites and Martian meteorites, for that matter, are legal to own as so long as the owner of that meteorite was a private individual and it didn't fall within an area where you have to turn that rock over to the government. I own a very small sample, 18 milligrams of a lunar rock, but I also own a little bit of dust that was brought back to Earth by the Apollo astronauts, by specifically Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin on Apollo 11. And that dust found its way onto the hands of a photographer who was exposing the film afterwards, got contaminated by dust, and they used scotch tape to remove the dust from his hands. And 30 years later, that small piece of scotch tape from that cleaning procedure ended up on auction, and I ended up with a small piece of it.
Don't you think that belongs to the public, even that dust?
Well, it all depends on.
I mean, we paid billions and hundreds of billions of dollars for that stuff.
That's true, and in a lot of ways, well, as I mentioned earlier, 842 pounds of it are in public hands. That little bit of dust was—you have to go back to how it was presented. That photographer never intended to be contaminated. He was cleaned off, and then his coworkers put together a presentation, including the astronauts, sort of joking with him about the fact that he was the dirtiest photographer they knew because his hands were covered in moon dust. Mm-hmm. They lifted it off with the tape, and he ended up getting a small sample as a souvenir. At the time, it really wasn't perceived as being of great value other than there wasn't any scientific value to it. It was contaminated by the Scotch tape itself, and there wasn't any real big market, although there was a big demand, people writing into NASA saying, could you please send me a moon rock? Mm-hmm. And so it took about 30 years for the market to develop, and since it's been in his possession all this time, it's been his legally and ended up being sold.
I know that you keep track of all kinds of space collectibles, and astronauts bring stuff into space to make them collectibles, don't they, when they get back?
Well, they it's true that when items are brought to space, they become collectible because it's part of living vicariously through the adventures of others. You get to own something if you can't go yourself. But there are actually certain precautions put in place today that when an astronaut goes to space on either a Russian or American vehicle or even a Chinese vehicle, that the material is not overtly commercial. That is, items that they're bringing back as souvenirs for their family or friends or for organizations that have supported them. And then after it's gifted, well, then the individual who receives it can do whatever they want with it. And astronauts, after they retire from NASA, can also sell the items that they've retained as souvenirs of their missions.
Mm-hmm. I understand that the original light sword used in the Star Wars films is going up in the next space shuttle or a future space shuttle mission. Is that correct?
That's correct. The lightsaber that was used by Mark Hamill playing Luke Skywalker in Return of the Jedi, the third Star Wars installment, is being flown on the Space Shuttle Discovery, scheduled to launch on October 23rd. It is part of a kit that's flown on every space shuttle mission called the Official Flight Kit that contains thousands of items and thousands of small items, I should stress, because it fits all into a tiny little duffel bag that sits in a locker never to be touched by the astronauts during the flight, but flies on every mission to be able to give something back to the people that support NASA and the astronauts' mission. In this case, Lucasfilm has done a lot, and specifically the Star Wars franchise has done a lot to inspire kids from around the world to take up an interest in space exploration. And if you go to any NASA center today and ask them how they got involved in working for the space program, you'll find a lot of engineers and scientists who say their first interest was coming out of a theater in 1977 and watching the Millennium Falcon and TIE fighters and X-Wings fly by the screen and wondering if they could do that for real.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a way to give back for the imagination that it delivered.
So it's going to be owned by then Lucas, not on an exhibit or in the Science Museum or someplace like that.
It will be put on display at Space Center Houston, which is the visitor center for Johnson Space Center here in Houston, for a short time after the flight. It was also on display a few weeks ago when it first arrived in Houston. And then it will be returned to Lucasfilm, and then it's their decision what they would like to do in terms of displaying it.
Mm-hmm. I understand that as part of the auction coming up soon, the fabled Claxton mailbox, that's the only mailbox known to be impacted by an actual meteorite, is going to be for auction also.
Well, it's very rare that, given the amount of material that falls to Earth every day, and most of it just burns up in the atmosphere, it's rare enough that something makes it to the ground, and that's even rarer that it hits something that's human-made and is witnessed. There's been a car that's been hit. There's been a house or roof that's been hit, and this mailbox that's been hit. And so the same people who collect meteorites also tend to like the pieces that get hit as well, in that it offers the full story. You own the rock, and you own the thing that the rock destroyed.
I understand that there's a chunk of the only meteorite ever to have killed a cow.
Well,
an auction.
At least they're not selling the cow.
Oh.
no, but a lot of this, the moon rocks, the Mars rocks, pieces that have hit actual items, it's all about the story. It's all about being able to have an item that has an interesting story behind it. If it was just a piece of rock, well, it would not be anything, there wouldn't be anything more than a rock you find on the street. But that rock or meteorite already has a story that it's traveled all these thousands or millions of miles through space to find its way on Earth, and then damn the probability, but that it actually hits something that people can relate to. Mm. It hit a cow, it hit a car, it hit a mailbox, instead of just hitting the ground.
Aside from an actual piece of moon rock, as a collector, what do you think is the most desired artifact that anybody would like to own?
From the space program, I think that the that the most desirable is an item that has been to the surface of the moon that is man-made, because it represents the greatest accomplishment that we've been able to do as a species. For some people, they believe that to be true. I believe that to be true. I think that we put all our efforts into something that was positive for the world, that they increased our knowledge, and that was a representation of our being not just Americans or Russians, but being a one world, going for all mankind, as they said, going to the moon. And so items that have been to the surface of the moon, that have touched that dust and the rocks, but were man-made, are a testament to the same type of activity as Columbus coming across the ocean to the New World, or Magellan circling the world, mm-hmm. or any of the great explorations.
Could you not see a business, then, of just sending artifacts to the moon and bringing them back and selling them?
Well, there is an attempt to try to start that now. First, just getting to space. There are companies that are now operating private suborbital vehicles that are launching objects first, and then later in the next few years, hopefully humans themselves with their souvenirs intact, to space and back on 45-minute to hour-and-a-half long jaunts. But there's also commercial efforts to try to send things to the moon. We just heard recently about a prize, the Google Lunar X Prize, to send a rover to the moon. And that has the goal of sending a rover there just to have it send back video. I'd love to see the next prize be send a rover there to pick up some of the dust and rocks and bring them back to Earth so that they could become that next collectible.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. I want to thank you very much for taking time to talk with us.
My pleasure.
Good luck to you. Robert Perlman is founder and editor of CollectSpace.com. He's a member of the U.S. Space Walk of Fame Foundation, the board of directors, and serves on the induction committee for the U.S. Astronaut Hall of Fame. We're going to take a short break and come back and really switch gears. We're going to talk about when too much medicine may not be good for you. So stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News.